This is an interview with Pat Ellis by Katie Murphy on the 28th of February 2017 at the State Library of South Australia. Also present is Caroline Pascoe. This interview is a part of the Oral History Project for the Women's Information Service. First off, Pat, I'd like to just ask you some personal questions.
Yes.
First of all, when were you born?
I was born in 1932 in Melbourne.
And can I ask where you grew up?
Yes. Well, as a child, I lived for a couple of years in Hobart, where my sister was born. Then a couple of years in Perth, where my brother was born. And then in 1939, we moved to Canberra. My father was a Presbyterian minister. And so we were in Canberra at the beginning of the war. And I lived the rest of my childhood in Canberra, which was a very small place in those days. And I went to school in Canberra, except that I went for 3 years to boarding school to Melbourne. And then after I came back to Canberra, I worked in the National Library for, now Canberra in those days didn't have a full-time university. So I worked in the National Library as a library assistant, and I studied part-time at the Canberra University College, where at the end of 5 years I got an arts degree from Melbourne University. A bit complicated that. So at the end of 5 years I had a university degree, I had a library qualification which I'd managed to get while I was working in the library, and I had enough money to travel overseas. So a friend and I went overseas and we worked in London during the winter, and we hitchhiked around Europe in two summers. And then I came back to Canberra and worked for a year again at the National Library, and then I applied for a position as librarian of the Public Library of Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea. And so I went up there and I lived in Papua New Guinea for 7 years, where I got married there and I had my son was born there. And then I came back we had a year in Melbourne, and then I came to Adelaide, where my husband got a job in Adelaide. And I wrote to the education department, I had a three-year-old son, and said I'd like a part-time job in a school library, you know. In those days, it wasn't too difficult to get jobs, and I had a letter back from the education department saying, oh, you're a bit overqualified for a school librarian. Would you like a job as a lecturer librarian at the Adelaide Teachers College part-time? I couldn't believe my luck, because I went for an interview with the principal, and here I was at the Adelaide Teachers College Library, all holidays off with full pay, working part-time as a lecturer librarian. Very lucky. And then I worked there. The Adelaide Teachers College became the Adelaide College of Advanced Education, the Adelaide College of the Arts and Education, and then amalgamated with the Institute of Technology and became the University of South Australia. So in 1997, at the age of 65, I retired as Deputy University Librarian.
Right. That was very interesting. Very succinct. Thank you for that. You answered the rest of my questions all in one answer. We'll move on to Women's Information Service now, and I'd just like to ask you some background information about your time at the Women's Information Service. So when did you start volunteering at the Women's Information Service?
I started volunteering in 1997. Okay. When I was working, I was not worried exactly, but rather daunted by the idea of retirement, because I had worked practically my whole life since I was 18, and I'd had 1 year off when my younger son was born. My second son was adopted. So basically, it was a big thing for me to retire. And I remembered when I worked in Kintore Avenue, driving to work at the Adelaide Teachers College and seeing a notice up, Women's Information Switchboard. I hadn't ever used it and I didn't really know what it was, but it sounded to me like it would be something good for women. So that before I actually retired, I looked up the number in the phone book And I rang and spoke to the head of volunteers, who then was named Joe Cheshire. I spoke to Joe and I said, I'd be interested in volunteering. And she said, OK, come in for an interview. I don't think we had to fill in an application. I can't remember that. Anyway, I went in for an interview with Joe and Mari, who was a long-term volunteer, and then was told that I had been successful. So I was able to start a training 1 week after I retired. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Kintore Avenue. Wiz was still located, obviously, at Kintore Avenue when you started volunteering there?
It was, yes.
That was?
It had changed its name. It used to be the Switchboard. It was already the Women's Information Service.
Oh, yes. Okay. And how long have you been volunteering for the
20 years this month, actually.
That is absolutely amazing. And again, you've just answered one of my other questions. Why did you get involved as a volunteer in WIS? So we've gone through that. But when you were volunteering, what was your main role when you first started as a volunteer with the Women's Information Service?
Well, my first role was, mind you, this is a long time ago, and one's record is, hey, but basically we just answered the phone and we got a lot of calls. So there would have been two or three volunteers. We wore headsets in those days. Mm-hmm. Two or three volunteers sitting around a table, because remember, at the in Kintore Avenue, we did have a few pamphlets, but people didn't actually come in. So there was really only the phone calls.
Nice.
So I think we all rushed for the phone when the phone rang, and there were a lot of calls.
Okay.
Yes.
So how many? How long was a shift then?
I think it was 1 till 5.
One till five. And you mentioned a lot of phone calls. How many phone calls do you think you would get on a 4-hour shift approximately?
Honestly, I can't remember that.
You can't.
But
remember.
There were enough to keep you busy.
Right. Well, it's certainly a little bit different.
A lot. Yes.
Yes. And you are still volunteering.
I am.
20 amazing years later. Why do you keep volunteering? Why are you still volunteering?
I think one of the reasons I keep volunteering is that I do other volunteering work where you're mostly with people of your own age, and I've always really enjoyed the other women who work at WIS. They're all ages, from quite young till more mature, but and well, even some volunteers, not very many of my age, but I just enjoy the company very much. I mean, I enjoy the work, of course, as well. And but I felt it was worthwhile. It was something worthwhile to do for women, but also, on a personal note, it was really good to be working with younger people and really and the feminist ideology that was in the background of all the work you do there.
Very much so. Thank you. That's very true. I'd just like to ask you a bit about your experiences, perhaps a little bit more in depth. When you were working, especially thinking over incrementally over the years, what was the atmosphere or the culture in WIS like?
It's always been, people have always been very, very friendly. I think, to be fair, I found it a bit difficult coming from a very senior position where people did what I said and nobody argued. Oh, no, they did. No, I don't quite mean it that way. But what I'm saying is that I found it difficult coming from a very senior position where people gave their opinions, but you made the rules, you know, you sort of. And then all of a sudden, you're the bottom of the table, so to speak. Even quite young people who are paid casually think that they can sort of tell you what to do. Well, I don't wish that to sound too negative, but I found, and I mean, this is going over, didn't happen in the early days so much because it was a different, but sometimes, you know, over the years, there have been. Not the permanent staff. The permanent staff have always been wonderful, but sometimes you had people who were employed casually who, they were told they had to supervise the volunteers. And if you've been there, and they had been there, 1 or 2 years, and you've been there for many years, and There were a few occasions when I felt a little bit put out, shall we say. But, you know, that's all right. You know, you can sort of sort that out.
Yeah.
One is able to sort that sort of thing out. Yeah.
And if...
But always, just let me say, the atmosphere in WIS has always been great. Mm. And
it is actually. I love the working environment on a personal note. Can you remember, or do you, when you first started volunteering, what were the main aims and objectives of the Women's Information Service? And do you think they've changed much over the 20 years that you've been?
I don't believe they have changed. I mean, the Women's Information Service has always been to give, to empower women to make decisions. I was always not very good at that. I'm a bit inclined to tell people what to do. So empowering people was always difficult for me. I always found that very hard when people rang in and you think, oh, you know, you felt that. But, you know, I did my best to empower. But it sometimes can be difficult for people. But no, I don't believe. I think it's always been a service where women's needs are paramount. And where that the staff there have the whole time really have the welfare of women in a whole, care about the welfare of women, yeah.
And when you first started volunteering, how did WIS operate? You mentioned that previously that there was a table and there was a few of you around the table with the phone in the middle. What were the procedures in the phone room and perhaps when WIS moved from Kintore Avenue to the railway station? Can you remember any of the procedures that you started with?
Well, I can't really remember the procedures very well at Kintore Avenue. In fact, I don't think we were there very long. I haven't got the dates in front of me, but I doubt that I was there. I don't. Do you know the date that we moved to? Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't think I was at Kintore Avenue much longer than a year. And then we moved to the Station Arcade. Of course, the Station Arcade was a great, you know, that was a big difference because, of course, people could come in. It was and people could come in and use the pamphlets and ask questions and things. So there was a huge step going from Kintore Avenue to the Station Arcade, for the better, of course. And so that was the big step there.
So did you notice when you moved to Station Arcade, with the shop front, instead of just having the phone room, you had the phone room and the shop front, did the phone calls reduce or did the way you handle phone calls or things change very much from going from Kintore Avenue to...
We didn't use earphones anymore, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't remember whether the phone calls... I think there were still plenty of phone calls, and certainly I think we had more volunteers in... I can remember up to 3 volunteers at a time at Kintore Avenue, whereas we just had the 2 in the morning, the 2 in the afternoon at Station Arcade, and we had more paid staff there, but some of their time was up in the Office of Women, which was opposite and up a number of stories in the Roma Mitchell building. Yeah.
Do you remember who you used to volunteer with? Do you remember some of the names of the people that you started with and have worked with?
Look, the turnover has been so huge over the years, Katie, that I don't really... I mean, I, of course, remember some people that I used to work in at the library I brought in. There were 3 separate people that I brought in from the library. Unfortunately, a couple of them stayed quite a while. One didn't stay too long. But the most recent one didn't stay too long. But, I mean, I to be honest, I really can't remember... I can remember more... Not the early ones so much. I can remember. You want me to give names?
If you can remember them.
Well, I can. There was Wilhelmina. There was. I remember first name. You didn't always know people's second names. No. Yes. So that there's Wilhelmina. There was. There was a group of volunteers who stayed for quite a long time, and you got to know them pretty well. There was Mari, of course, dear Mari, who died recently. there was she was along. She had she worked for. I think she finished her 20 years about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe more. She was a volunteer for a long time. She'd given it up in the last 3 years. There was Elise, of course, who still works in court support. Elise was paid staff. Sorry, Elise was paid staff. I remember more of the paid staff, I think, because they were there longer. I mean, obviously, young volunteers tend to turn over a lot because they... Some of them, you know, apply when they're studying, and then they. So it's the more mature ones that stayed on, and I can remember their faces, but I have some difficulty in remembering a lot of the names. Yes.
Okay. WIS has seen also many changes over the years. What were some of the changes that were introduced, or what are some of the changes that you've seen introduced while you've been at WIS?
Well, the main change that are really the changes of location. I mean, there were a few. Well, I can just remember one thing when we were at the Station Arcade. At one stage, I thought it was dreadful. They had a volunteer and a paid staff person sitting at the front desk, and I thought there's nothing more intimidating than somebody coming in wanting maybe to talk to somebody about something and having two people sitting there. And I fought against that for quite a long time, and eventually they decided it wasn't such a good idea, because they just, well, you can understand why it wouldn't be such a good idea, two people just sitting at the front desk with nothing else to do but wait for somebody to come in. Mm-hmm. And but for, you know, the powers that be thought that was a good idea, and
and you fought, you expressed
I
your
had a few
your
words
opinion.
To say on the subject to yes. people, and I don't know whether it was what I had to say. Others didn't agree with it either, and and so that was it was changed. Yes, and but strangely enough, I don't. From my point of view, I don't really see. I haven't really seen that much change over the years, except the fact that each change of location. Obviously, there were changes in procedure in many ways. Like at Station Arcade, people had access to pamphlets, which was a very good thing, of course, and the same with Grenfell Street. But the ethos has always been there, the feminist ethos and the helping women, and you know, and helping and empowering women to make their own decisions about and referring them to appropriate agencies, because that's the big thing, to refer them to appropriate agencies as well. So except that in Station Arcade, we didn't have a room, we didn't have any privacy for people. If somebody came in and wanted to speak privately to somebody, there was literally nowhere. And that was a big disadvantage of the Station Arcade.
So a good change has been...
Oh, yes, Grenfell Street was a good change.
Going to Grenfell Street, yes.
Well,
and having
good
that
and bad,
little bit
I mean,
of
Station Arcade was so good in that it was on people's route. Yep. And Grenfell Street is no question, it's a little bit out of the way.
Right.
People are... There's not that many casual staff walking down... not casual staff. People are walking on the other side of Grenfell Street.
Right.
To just see it and want to pop in. That was a big disadvantage, but of course... But we did have... when we first moved to Grenfell Street, there wasn't really anywhere where people... It's only our current location, I think, that we have the private room. We have one at Grenfell Street either.
Okay. Just really pushing your memory here.
Yes. Maybe.
So even more. Who was the... do you remember who the coordinator or manager had... who the coordinators or managers have been over the time that you've been volunteering?
There have been a lot. There have been a lot in WIS. Do you mean WIS or Office of Women?
No, WIS.
Well, I think Margaret Porter was the manager of WIS when I first started. I remember Sophia, I mean, just thinking of the first names, you know, because again, second names don't come into it a lot. There was Sophie, there was Carla. There've been a whole lot. There was, Wendy. Good. Wendy's a good friend. There was, if I sat down and tried to make a list, I'd probably think of more, but just off the top of my head, they're the only ones I can. There was a very quick turnover at one stage that, you know, every couple of years. So, you know, add those up. There would have been at least 10 in the 20 years I've been there, okay. I reckon.
Okay.
Not easily, but I think there would have been at least 10 managers of WIS.
Now I'm going to push your memory even more.
Oh dear.
Did you know who the women's advisor or the director of the Office of Status of Women was?
The person in charge of the status of women, no. I mean, Carmel O'Loughlin comes to mind. She was one of the ones when we were in the station arcade. She was head of Office of Women. And of course, Fiona now, I know Fiona, but I can't remember. I can actually visualise one woman, but I can't remember her name. No, I can't remember any of the others at the moment.
That's fair enough. Do you think, just going back to various changes that have happened with WIS over the years, do you think the service that the Women's Information Service provides has changed much over the years, and if so, in what ways do you think they've changed?
I think the service has always been the same, but there were fewer people taking advantage of it. There was a time when we had more money. There was money to send out brochures to every doctor and every school and everybody under the sun, and it was much better advertised. I mean, I think WIS is a very well kept secret. A group, I mean, you'd be surprised, well, you wouldn't be surprised, probably, but, I mean, I belong to a women's group called the Sir Optimus Club, and we've had some younger members recently, and they'd never even heard of the women. You know, one was a lawyer, they were all in sort of, you know, areas where they were interested, obviously very interested in women's issues. But they had not heard of, you know, Women's Information Service, had never come across there. And I think that we just haven't managed to get ourselves into the public eye, which is a shame, really, because there's a lot of material available in our office that is very little used.
Do you think that there is still a need for an information service for women?
I do, although I also think that one of the reasons that it isn't used as much as it used to be is, of course, more people have access to the internet. Most of us these days, if we've got a question about anything, we just look up the internet. And I can't help feeling, to those of us who've had access and are able to use computers, that may be one of the reasons that the Women's Information Service doesn't have as many phone calls these days and doesn't have as many people seeking information by coming in personally.
I'd just like to talk about the clients or the type of women that came in, especially over the 20 years that you've been there. When you first started, what kind of women came in and used WIS?
When I first started, nobody came in because
I was a kid.
Remember that over the years, not that many people actually come in. I mean, it's our phone service that has always been the main one. But I don't... it's funny, I mean, one woman...
I suppose to narrow it down for you, to help you, were they mainly older women or younger women? Were they of a cold background or Aboriginal background?
Very few Aboriginal women came in, although we had somebody on our staff who was Aboriginal background for a long time. We don't have many people from other nationalities. We don't in my experience, but you know, it's limited, it's only one day a week, we don't really have many older women either. But it just seems to me that there's a sort of variety of women who come in. I couldn't personally put it down to any particular age group or type of person. No.
So a rather broad section.
Well, I think so.
Society would use it of women. What kind of queries would you mainly get?
The worst query is accommodation, because that's always very, very difficult to help people in that regard, and there are often a lot of queries on accommodation. Things to do with the family court are usually one of the, my experience, with divorce, separation, domestic violence, I guess, also child support and child welfare. So
in your 20 years of volunteering, have you seen the kinds of queries change much, or was it the same kind of queries when you were working at Kintore Avenue and Station Arcade as we're getting now in Grenfell Street, do you think?
Well, I actually haven't been on the phone for quite a long time because I've been mainly out in the front desk. So I can't be sure about this, and I really don't know that one. When I was answering phones, there seemed to be a regular pattern of queries. And sometimes people, I remember one time when we used to have a lot of phone calls from somebody who just wanted somebody to talk to. She was a sick person, and we, in the end, we decided we could only give her 15 minutes of time. But we realised that this person needed that sort of support. And she just wanted to, I think she'd almost ring every day. But, there's strange things like that. And we used to get some, I don't think that's happened a long time, but we used to get some quite frivolous calls, like people wanting to know, and they obviously were the days before the internet or ready availability of the internet, people wanting to have recipes and things like that.
At this time, You just mentioned that you helped this lady by talking to her 15 minutes a day. Can you think of any other ways Wiz was able to help some of the women with their queries at the time? But like you said, before mass information availability for everybody.
There's no question that people didn't know. I mean, in my memory of the most... The group that we, or the agency that we referred people to most, was the Women's Legal Service. I mean, they're a great group. Oh, and the other thing I haven't mentioned before is workplace. That was always a big thing, workplace bullying and that type of thing. And the women's Working Women's group, they were very good. You know, they've always been very good. But the Women's Legal Service has always been, to me, a basic place to refer people, because they give such a good service, and you knew that people were going to be looked after. And that was, I think, I could say that with referrals, that would have been, in my experience, that would have been one of the agencies that we would refer people to most. But certainly the Working Women's Centre was another one. I'd forgotten about that, actually. We get a lot of queries from people who are having problems at work for various ways, they're often able to assist in there.
And how did it feel when you were able to help someone?
Oh, well, very good, of course. I mean, it's always nice to think that you've... and people can be very appreciative, you know. And the other thing I'd forgotten too, a few things are coming back now, is sometimes people ring up and just want to talk. Sometimes people have rung up and said that, thank you so much for listening to me, I feel a lot better now, and da-da-da-da-da. Just all you have to do is to just listen. That's all they want. They want to speak to somebody they don't know, somebody they can't see, and somebody who will just listen and sort of make an occasional comment. And that is, I think, a very useful thing to do for people. And it always makes you feel really good when, you know, at the end of that sort of conversation, supportive listening, I think we call it, they say, oh, look, thank you. I feel much better now, and I'll be able to do da-da-da. Yeah, it's good.
It is, actually. There's not much of that around at the moment.
No.
If there were times when you weren't, or if there are times when you cannot help someone, do you think you know why this is? For example, if the information just isn't there, or...
Well, there are people who ring up who have, you know, problems that they... you sometimes sense that somebody might ring up, and a woman might ring up, and they obviously have been to quite a few agencies, and, you know, they're sort of difficult, and in many cases nothing more you can do for them. And it's always, they're not the ones, but there are some people, well, particularly with accommodation, that is a really difficult area, and sometimes it's just not possible to do anything. And I mean, there are numbers you can give them. Sometimes you worry too that the numbers you give them, particularly in the accommodation area, whether, you know, that's going to be really helpful, because you don't know what the people are going to be like on the other end. And that can be a little bit a bit of a worry when the person is in real need, and you, all you can do, I mean, some agencies you know perfectly well are going to help, but other agencies you don't know, and you just worry that they're going to give the sort of help that you would like that person to receive. But what can you do? And but it's not good, you know. You feel badly if somebody rings up with a genuine problem that is just something that the, you know, not within our power. And I can't think of an example if you're going to ask me that.
Well, the accommodation one was actually very relevant. Yes. And did you just, this is just a side note, when you first started at Kintore Avenue and went to Station Arcade, was accommodations a big issue like it is today?
Oh, I think it is. I think so, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Okay, we spoke briefly about the internet. You mentioned it before. Before the internet, before we had the tap, 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 how did you go about getting information to respond to the women's queries?
Oh, we had a wonderful database called InfoSearch. And that's never been, I used to call it a thesaurus, because I'm from a library, and it was a list of words. Like, for example, anorexia might be a word. And then you clicked on on your computer, you went onto anorexia, and they gave you a whole lot of agencies that would help with that. And it was a fantastic, fantastic resource. And why they ever gave, then we went to whatever we knew is now communities, whatever. And it was, that's nowhere near. InfoSearch was just great. You just keyed in divorce, divorce, and it would come up with all the agencies that could assist in somebody. And separate it was a very comprehensive database, and it was just invaluable. And I can't remember when we stopped having access to it. It cost. I think we had to pay for it. It wasn't free, but it was well worth it. Yeah.
And when the internet did come in, how did it change things, and how did it impact on the workers at WIS?
Well, basically, we didn't have the internet in Kintore Avenue, and then when we went to Station Arcade, it was available. So I think, was it available in Station Arcade? Now I'm having a memory thing here. I'm just trying to visualise the Station Arcade. Did we have... we certainly had it at Grenfell Street, but I can't actually visualise it. Maybe we didn't have it there. I'm not sure about that. That's a funny thing to... I wish I'd remembered to ask somebody if there's anybody left to ask, which there isn't, which there virtually isn't. But, the service we offer for people to come in and use the internet, I mean, that's always been very... maybe not as much now, but certainly that, particularly when we were in Grenfell Street, that was very, very heavily used. It's a long time since I've had to actually say to somebody, "Oh, your time's up," because somebody else wants to use it. So that's, I think, since we moved, you know, into the Office of Women area, that's happened. That never happens now. Well, it hasn't happened to me. But you are thinking more our access to the internet, I take it, yeah.
Our access and impacts on workers, I suppose, in terms of how the workers accessed information. Did we need as many workers with the internet and so much information available so quickly and so readily? Well, those sort of things.
Yes, it's hard to say. I mean, again, InfoSearch was our main database. Well, yes, because if we couldn't use the internet, how are we going to find out about things? I'm just trying to think now, going back to you made me think about Kinter Avenue. How on earth did we know anything? I mean, was it all in our heads? Can't have been. But I don't think we had computers then, or did we? See, this is the difficult thing. I mean, I'm just thinking now, well, how did we manage if we didn't have computers? Yeah. Because we had computers at work, so I was fully conversant with using a computer.
So you mentioned that you were sitting around a table at Kintore Avenue with the headphones on.
I think we had computers. I really do think we had
you had.
Yeah, of course, we'd have to have, otherwise we wouldn't know how to find out anything.
That's right.
So we would have computers on the table, yeah.
Right.
But and not one of our, I think we had to share, you know, share access to a computer, yeah.
Oh, okay, so there was one computer between three people?
That I don't remember.
You don't remember.
Now, that is detail. After 20 years, Katie, I do not remember that.
My apologies. So, okay, what did WIS do to help women learn the technology, this new technology?
Oh, yes, well, then we had the, we had courses. We had to do that. Oh, now that's coming back to me. I had forgotten about that. Yes, we ran classes for people to learn how to use the internet, some way or another. But we were all expected to be able to help people do that. And I think it was one on one. It was one on one, so it wasn't a class. And I think we all were told how to do it, and people had to book before they came in to run, and then we helped them go through. There was a manual I can't remember why and when we stopped doing that, but they decided it wasn't necessary. Oh, I know why, because the city libraries were giving really, really good computer courses, and it was felt that we were just doubling up, and they had the more. They had more time and staff to do it, yeah. That was the reason. So we referred people to the city. I mean, the city library at the moment has got a very, very good digital hub. Mm.
I'd like to talk about WIS and the community now. Can you remember in what ways WIS has been involved in the community? For example, outreach services, talks?
Well, WIS talks have always been a big thing. I mean, I've done quite a few myself, and mainly I've done them to groups coming in from TAFE. In fact, there was one in yesterday that I remembered the lecturer who was with them, she remembered back to the Station Arcade days, same lecturer. So I think WIS talks are very, very useful, and we, of course, still give them all over the place, and also running a WIS stall at different occasions, that's probably very good publicity too. I mean, publicity is the big thing. If only we can get out there and let people know we exist, because it's a wonderful agency that is so little known, as I've said before. And that is the problem, and getting something publicised is pretty difficult.
Do you remember what kinds of community groups that WIS did have and may continue to have a connection with?
If you mean the digital hubs and things.
Community groups, perhaps some multicultural groups, things like that, different community groups.
I haven't really been involved in that, so I don't know, but I do know that WIS has, I don't know if it still has, I expect it has, sort of hubs all over the state whereby people, WIS provides them with a computer in different libraries and places, and people can access WIS information and stuff, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go on to the next one. WIS has collaborated with numerous government and community groups that assist women. So we have the Women's Financial Advice Service, Modern Banking for Older Women, Tax Help, Rural Internet Access Sites. Were you involved in organising or participating in any of these programs at all?
No, not really.
No. Okay. Okay. During the 1980s, Women Information Service held some phone-ins on issues such as domestic violence, housing, stress and disability. Did you participate?
1980s?
That's what it says here. Did you participate or help in any of these? No, because you started in 97, did you?
But there were phone-ins after I started. I wonder if they've got that
Have you participated in any phone-ins at all?
No, I haven't participated in phone-ins, but I know there were phone-ins while I was working at the Station Arcade, definitely.
And do you remember what they were targeting?
I think there might be one on domestic violence, but I'm not really sure.
You're not really sure. Okay. During your time at WIS, from when you started thinking over how things have changed, what were the important women's issues of the day, and were these issues reflected in the kinds of calls that you received?
That's rather a difficult question, and I'm not really, I mean...
I suppose maybe in the late 90s, when the internet was becoming more readily available, that may have been an issue for the women to start learning the internet, and you may have received more calls in regarding places where to learn to use it. Can you think of any other issues of the day through the 2000s?
I can't really. I mean, you know, domestic violence is the big thing now, but it wasn't so much there. It's always been an issue, but not with so much publicity. I honestly can't think of anything. As you say, helping women use the internet. I mean, I'm just trying to think of any major women's issues over those years, and just off the top of my head, I really can't think of any particular issues. Well, I mean, they've always been ongoing issues, and they're still ongoing, so it's not much...
They are. You mentioned domestic violence before, and from my memory, thinking back to 97 and through the 2000s, domestic violence was known, but it wasn't really brought out into the community like it is today. So have you noticed a difference in, you're not so much on the phones anymore, but in the shop front, or comparing what you were talking about in the phones maybe even 15 years ago? So have you noticed if there's been a change in the attitude towards domestic violence? And you mentioned accommodation before. Did you receive calls for accommodation back then? Is there more calls for accommodation now because domestic violence is more out in the open?
Well, as you're right, domestic violence is so much more out in the open now that it's... it's really hard to remember whether I've had more calls. I've only had a limited course on domestic violence over the whole time I've been there. I mean, although, and probably there are more now because it's more open and people are more liable to ask for help and ask where they can get help. I'm sure that's the case, but not in my personal experience. Yeah.
Okay. This is a bit of a back to the internet. Did the introduction of the internet affect your relationship with the women who used the service?
I'm not really quite sure what that means because honestly, the internet was with us the whole time. I mean, you know, I was on the internet at work and I was on the internet when I started it. So I don't see how it could... I mean, it just... The internet has always been a wonderful... aid, particularly this InfoSearch, which was a database on the internet, to help people. But I don't see how it could affect your relationships with anybody because people who came in and did our internet, I can't remember what it was called, but whatever the help we gave to the people on, it was certainly always been a wonderful aid to the volunteers at WIS, no question about that, but I don't really see how it sort of interacts with the people who, except that they're less likely to ask our help, I guess, yeah.
So one final question for you, Pat. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Right.
Any thoughts or comments that you have as a general?
Well, really, all I can say is that in my 20 years at Women's Information Service, I have thoroughly enjoyed my interaction with other volunteers and with staff and with users. It's been it's a wonderful service for women. It's unfortunately so little known, and we really have to do something to make, I don't know how, because to make it more well known, it takes money, and money is what is not, there's not a lot of these days. And but it's just a great service, and for me personally, it's been a great place to do volunteer work, and I'm really glad that I had the idea when I retired to ring up and volunteer, and was successful, and it's been a lot of pleasure. Well, it's been personal pleasure. It's been also, I felt really good at working in a women's area where I felt I could be useful.
Well, a little birdie told me that in the 20 years that you have been working at the Women's Information Service, volunteering, that you've had one sick day.
Yes, that's true. I'm very fortunate in that I'm not a person who gets sick so far. And that is true. That was only a couple of years ago when I was really not that sick. I just had terrible lethargy, and I just thought I couldn't get up and out, and I was diagnosed with something I didn't even have anyway. But that one day I couldn't come in. But it's true, I haven't been fortunate in that way.
Well, I think on behalf of every single person at the Women's Information Service and the Office for Women, we thank you for your exceptional service over the last 20 years, because I think there's people that work less years than that and put less effort and thank have you. More sick days than
thank
that.
Thank you very much, Katie.
You're welcome, Pat.
It's been
thank
a great
you.
Pleasure.